what moves Jesus in faith? What moves Jesus? Faith does. What moves Jesus? Do you want God to work on your behalf? Do you need him to work in your life? Then how many of you have not been working in faith and wondering, where's God? How come this isn't getting better for me? How come the situation in my world is not changing? Have you really been putting to test your faith? Have you really been activating your faith in your world? And you may say, yes, Pastor Jess, yes. Today we're going to find out, because I was in a position where I really thought that I was in faith. And we were hit with the mortgage thing like everybody else. How many of you have been hit with the mortgage thing trying to save your house? All of us were. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lord, I'm in faith for it, da-da-da. They told us we were accepted for a modification. One night, we get this letter in the mail and it says, you've been denied. And I'm like, well, wait a second. How can they take our money and then say, you've been denied? I'm so confused. So, you know, anger then rises up. How unjust, da-da-da-da, you know. And my husband, the preacher man, you know, oh, Jessica, get in faith, you know. And I'm like, I am in faith, you know, so we're fighting. And the whole time I'm thinking, I'm in faith. I'm in pissed off faith, you know, like. Sorry, I was not supposed to say that in church, but that is seriously how I felt. I was so mad. And it's hard to be in faith when you're mad. It's hard to really be in faith when you are having these over-expressive emotions, which us as women very much so experience, and the men, they really don't so much experience it. So sometimes it may be hard for you to relate with maybe the men in your world when you're going through something. They're like, let it go. And you're like, I wish I could, you know. But you know what? God is good and he's faithful. And as I began to walk that journey, the Lord had me, you know, I was pregnant and then my son was born and there was something wrong with his little pee-pee. He has like a little bent pee-pee or something like that. And anyway, so he supposedly has to have surgery in 6 months and all this stuff. And I'm just like, you know what, enemy, you are a liar. You are a liar from the pit of hell. And I thought I was in faith about that. And then my other son had eczema. And I mean, it was so bad. He was like ripping his skin open, you know, and bleeding everywhere. And I was like in faith every day. Every time I put lotion on him, in the name of Jesus, you're healed by the stripes on the cross. And I really thought I was in faith about that. And someone had challenged me and sent me something. And it was a statement of faith of another ministry. And there's nothing wrong with this other ministry, but I began to read their statement of faith. And it wasn't what we believe. And it was, if it's God's will, and if, you know, then you're healed. And then it was just really like monotone surface level with the word of God as far as I'm concerned, because I was raised in faith. I was raised to fight. I was raised that God believes that everyone wants to be healed. And I read that and I got in the shower and I was like, what, Lord, come on. What a cop out. I'm like, that just gives Christians the right not to be in faith. And he goes, well, wait a second. Are you in faith? And I'm like, yes, I'm in faith. He's like, are you casting judgment before you check, Jess? Are you really in faith about your mortgage? I'm like, yes, I'm in faith, because if I don't have this house, I don't care. He's like, oh, well, that's really faith. I'm like, well, okay. You know, and I'm like, spank, you know. And then the next one. Well, I'm in faith. I know Micah's healed. Oh, really? Do you really believe Micah's healed? Do you really believe Micah's healed? I'm like, yes, I really do believe. And he's like, okay, what about Titus? Do you really believe I can fix him before the 6 month period? Do you really believe that? And I'm like, yes. And he goes, but in your heart, do you believe it? Not know it, Jess, but do you believe it? And I was like, and I just began to cry, because I was so thinking I was in faith. I was so thinking, you know, I'm working along, I'm chucking along, I'm not letting my thoughts go there, I'm keeping myself in faith. But at the same time, did I really believe? It's one thing to know, girls, what God can do. It's another thing to believe what God can do. And when we get to the point of believing what he can do in faith, he then begins to move. That's when Jesus starts moving. That's when he starts activating. That's when things start getting answered. That's when heaven starts turning around and going, oh, now it's there. There's some belief behind that knowledge. Listen, I changed and I repented that day. And things have turned around like that. My son's eczema is like gone. Like, I don't even have to put lotion on him anymore. And my son, Titus, he is like straight and happy. So, I mean, like, things are good. So, you know what? I just believe God. Yeah, we're girls, right? We can talk about this stuff. But those are things, little things that I was believing God for. And, you know, the mortgage, I believe I'm keeping my house. You know, like, God gave it to me in the first place. Why would he take it back? He's not, you know, chaotic. He's not confused. So get in faith. But, you know, what is it in your world that you're in faith for? What is it that you're in faith for? Maybe what is it that you've been believing God for, and then you just kind of gave up on it? Because there was something in our world as a family that we were all believing for. And we were all praying all the time for it, all the time, and we were not seeing results. And let me tell you, I got convicted because I stopped praying for it on a Sunday night prayer. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, "You're not in faith about this situation because you stopped praying." I'm like, "Well, I haven't seen any results." He's like, "So what, faith stops when you don't see results?" Guys, we've got to check ourselves. The enemy's after us. You are in the line of fire, not just us pastors. You've got to get in faith. You've got to get your swords up. You've got to get ready. You've got to make sure that your face shield is up and ready to go. And when I began to pray again for that situation, things got worse. You thought they were going to get better, huh? Yeah. They got worse. In fact, they blew up worse. Like, blew up. So all of us in our family are like, this just has to be the beginning of something good, because if it's bad, it's going to get better. And sure enough, it has been restored. And God is restoring, and God is healing, and God is mending what our whole family was believing God for. And you know what? The enemy's a liar. And when things don't look right to you on the outside, you stay in faith and you don't let go. And so today we're going to talk about what moves Jesus, faith does. And what does that look like? So you got your word today? We're going to go. You know, I went and I started studying 2 days ago. All the kids were finally asleep. What a miracle. I should have been sleeping. No. And I just believe that God sat me on my bed and said, "Listen, you need to start studying." And I'm like, "Okay, I like doing that." So I started studying, and then I got the phone call from my mom. "Hey, you're preaching." God's good. So we're going to go to Mark 5:21. And I did look up all the girls in the Bible that moved God with their faith. And believe me, there is a list of women that moved God with their faith. But there was just one story that jumped out at me. And it wasn't about a woman. It was about a man. And his name is Jairus. And God just said, "I want you to stick to that story, whether or not he's a woman or not. There's a message in it. And they need to hear it." So let's hear what God has to say to us through Jairus' story. Mark 5:21, it says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And beyond, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus, by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet." Let's stop right there. This is someone from the synagogue. He's higher up. He knows what's going on in his city. He knows what's going on. People go to him for help. Jesus gets off the boat, and the first thing he does is he's on a mission. He knows where he's going, because this man obviously needs something. When you guys are in a situation and when life is falling apart, where do you go first? I hope it's God, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's your girlfriend. Sometimes it's your husband. Sometimes it's the TV. "Oh, I just need to stop thinking about it. I'm going to turn the TV on so I can stop thinking about it." But he went to God first. He knew where his source was. He knew where his help came from. Let's go back to 23. "And begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.'" Right there, faith. Right there, not an option. You know, God talks about in the Bible, have faith like a child. When Jairus came to God, he said, "If you lay your hands on her, I know she's going to be healed. So you have to come see my daughter." That right then, there's no in-betweens. God moved, so Jesus went. I love those next words. So Jesus went. What are you believing God for, and what are you in faith for? Because if you need God to act on your behalf fast, it better be done in faith. If it's done in fear, you will not motivate God. Ask yourself that question. Have the things that I've been believing God for, have I been really doing them in fear, or maybe anger, or maybe frustration, maybe anxiety, maybe worry and doubt, all the things that God is not? Why would that motivate him? We have to work and operate in his kingdom, and his kingdom is love and peace and joy and happiness and faith. And his faith moved him, and so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So they're on their way to Jairus' house. Everybody's starting to gather around because they know who this Jesus is and they know what he can do. And they're waiting to see a miracle. I love this story. And now a certain woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had suffered from many things. So in the middle of all of this, Jesus is on his way to do a miracle. He's ready to meet that need of faith. There's a woman with an issue of blood. And she touches the hem of his garment. I'm not going to read it. She touches the hem of his garment. He turns around and he goes, "Who touched me?" She said, "I did." He said, "Because of your faith is great, you are healed, daughter." Listen, this is all in the midst of it. This happened probably within like minutes of each other. At this point, when Jesus is conversing with the woman with the issue of blood, in verse 35, while he is speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, which is Jairus' house, and he said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" That's not faith. Is that fact? At that point, where would we be? Oh, gosh, too late. No, we would be devastated. Our hearts would stop. We would be done. That we would probably forget that Jesus was even with us. We would just be like laid out. But at this point, he keeps going. And as soon as Jesus heard the word which was spoken, he said to Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Faith. He's reminding him to get back in faith. He's reminding him that when that fact and when that fear came, get back in faith. And he permitted no one to follow him except for Peter, James, John, and the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw a tumult, which is like a gathering of people, and those who wept wailed loudly. Have you ever been to a funeral and it's just devastating? Everyone's crying at the same time. They're just devastated. They're brokenhearted. That's what's happening on the outside of this house. And then Jesus came to the house and the ruler of the synagogue in a tumult, and they wept and they cried loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, so he took them out, he said, "Get out. Get out." He took the father and the mother and the child and those who were with him, his disciples, and he entered where the child was lying. He took the child by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha kumi," I probably totally messed that up, which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl rose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and he said something that should be given to her to eat. And he knew that she needed to eat right away. What little girl's in your life? What represents this little girl in your life that's dead, that you've lost faith over? That God can raise it. That God can bring it back. God can lift it right up where it died, where you left it. Maybe God is telling you to go back and pick it back up and get back in faith for it. Maybe you're in a situation and you're going, "I need a miracle like that. I need a miracle like that, Pastor Jess." Well, what we're going to do today is what does faith move that moves Jesus look like? You guys want to know what it looks like? You want to be in faith like Jairus was so that you can have the result? You know, God's not a respecter of persons. He didn't just do it for Jairus and not going to do it for you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he's the God that he was then. He's the same God he is now. And nothing is too big for our God. So, you got your pens and paper out? First point. What does faith that moves Jesus look like? It doesn't listen to the words of outsiders. In the story, in Mark 5:35, it says, he was still speaking, someone came to the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Those were outside voices. Those were facts that were happening right in front of him. Those are things. How many of you have gone to the doctor and report of cancer? How many of you have gone to the jailhouse and you've seen your children, your kid's going to end up in jail the rest of his life? How many of you have watched your children get on and off of drugs, on and off of drugs, on and off of drugs? How many of you have never had a good marriage and you believe in God? Where's my man? Where's my godly man? God, where is he? He doesn't seem like he's even in there. And everybody around you is like, "Leave him. Stop praying for your kid. Oh, yeah, once they're on drugs, they're always on drugs. Sickness, cancer, well, that's just a death sentence. And then you start going, well, my cancer. I hate that. Well, you know, my cancer, don't claim it. It's not yours. That is not yours. Don't accept it. Get in faith. Stop listening to outside voices. Those may be the facts. And that may be the knowledge of it, but what's the faith of it? The faith of it is, God says, you are healed by the stripes on the cross. What is the faith of your husband? That he is highly favored and called by God. Start speaking life into this man. Because he needs someone to encourage him. You know, Pastor Jim always says, people will only go as far as you encourage them. Are you a little nag and a little devil at home too? We're always finger pointing. Why don't you point it back? My best friend always does this to me when she's talking to me because she doesn't want to point three fingers back at herself. You know? Well, she did it, you know? Because if you do this, you got three pointing back at you. Stop pointing at everyone else and start looking at yourself. Start saying, all right, Lord, what am I not in faith for? I had to, in that shower that day, go, oh, what? Pride, die, you know? I'm in faith? No, you're not in faith. Spank, you know? Fine, I'm so sorry, Lord. And I begin to cry and I begin to weep. Maybe some of you just need to cry and weep before God and ask for some repentance in your area of faith. And you need to say, what is it, God, that you need from me? What voices have been able to consume my life? What people in my world have been saying things that are so opposite of what this says? Because let me tell you something. Anyone and anything that comes against this or contrary to what this says is not of God. I don't care if it is your husband. I don't care if it is your children. I don't care if it's your sister or your best friend or the closest people in your world to you. If they're not speaking the word, they're not speaking what God says about you. And that's what it comes down to. Let this be your final. Let this be your final voice. No other option. And if no one in your world is speaking life, and if no one in your world is encouraging you in this faith, then you get into the word and you get alone with God, and it may be a lonely season, but let me tell you something, you're never alone, because he will fill that loneliness. He will take that emptiness. He will fill it with faith. And let faith arise in you, girls, because these outside voices are coming to steal, kill, and destroy your life and all the lives that are attached to yours. In Philippians 4, 8, and 9, read it up here with me because it's on the message. I love the way this says it. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not the things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, God. What have you learned from him? What do you hear and say and realize? Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. I don't know about you, but I want to be in harmony with God. I want him breathing and working and singing and flowing through my world and flowing through my life. And I want faith to be in my veins, that it can't just come out of me. Whatever happens in my world, faith's going to arise. But listen, any one of us could fall. Any one of us. Just because I'm up here at Pastor Jim or Deborah, if we begin to slack in our faith, the enemy can come in and kill, steal, and destroy. So be on your guard, girls. Watch out what voices you're letting in your world. Point number two, only believe. Only believe. In Mark 36, it says, and as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue. So right after they spoke something evil, said, your daughter's dead. Right away, God said, don't be afraid. Only believe. What has God told us to do? Simple. Only believe. How many times have you been talking to your kids and you tell them something and they don't get it? I'm not kidding. It's like every day. Why do you not listen to me? Why do you not listen to me? Well, you got hurt because you didn't listen to me. Like, what, do you not believe me? I'm lying to you. I'm not lying to you. You know, I'm sorry. I'm so Italian, huh? I'm like, no, 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 no. That is like how I talk to my kids. But seriously, how many times is God probably in heaven going, well, if you'd only believe, how come you're not listening to me? I told you just believe. Dave, why are you putting this in there and this in there and this in there? This is not a stew. This is just one item. One thing is happening here. Quit throwing all of you in. Quit throwing all the people in your world in and put me in and only believe. Don't think. Don't wonder. Don't hope. Believe. He keeps it simple for us, but we make everything so complicated. You know, I myself was challenged with this, with the mortgage. Me and Dan kept going back, you're not in faith. I'm in faith. You're not in faith. I'm in faith. You know, like weeks and weeks and weeks, I'm in faith, God. You know, and I'm in my word. See, I'm in faith. I'm just the woman, and I have to prepare just in case something happens because I'm connected to this house. And I'm the one that has to let go, and I have to prepare myself. You know, all the crap that I was telling myself and all the, honestly, justification of thinking that, well, just in case. Are we a just-in-case Christianity? Well, I better just in case I don't make it to heaven. Do we know we're going to get into heaven? Do we know that you're saved? Well, then why are we just-in-casing our faith? You know, I'm preaching to me too. Hello. And when I got to the point of God saying, stop saying if, stop saying, well, maybe, well, just in case, well, what if, that's what's setting your husband off, Jess. Because none of those are words of faith. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I went downstairs and I repented and I cried and, you know, he's so wonderful. He hugged me. It's okay, babe. I knew you weren't in faith. Oh, shut up. Gosh. I'm in faith now. You know, I'm keeping my house. Good house. God gave it to me. I'm going to raise our kids there. And you know what? That's where I was at. But I had to get to the point of not just knowing. And he spoke this to me. Don't just know what I could do. Believe what I could do, Jess. Girls, believe what he can do. In Hebrews 11:6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Yikes. Do we really every day long to please him? Are we really longing to please him? Are we really like on a daily basis going, I'm going to get up this morning, God, and I hope you're blessed with my praises. I hope that you're blessed with the life that I'm walking. I hope you're blessed. And God, I hope that I please you with my life. Or are we getting up in the morning and asking God for something right away? Are we getting up in the morning and believing God for something we need right away? I don't know about you, but when I'm in faith, it automatically pleases God. I'm already in that mode of praise because when I'm pleasing God, he sees it as love. He sees it as praise. When my kids bless me and they come in the room in the morning and they're like, I love you, Mommy. I'm like, oh, I'm melting, you know. Come, everybody lay out with me, you know. I'm just like, I'm in heaven, and then give me 10 more minutes when we start breakfast and I'm yelling. So, you know, you will eat your food. But God knows, and he is moved, and he's blessed by our faith. Okay? So in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Do we really believe who he is? You say that. And that's what I really felt when he was talking to me. He was like, well, you're saying that they must not know who I am because they're not reading the full word and they're not getting the full gist of my word, which, yes, but are you believing who I am? Because you're not. Because if you're not in faith, you don't believe I can do it. I'm not pleased. Has anyone ever come against your character? I don't know about you, but I do not get mad unless you come against my character. Because then I'm like, how dare you? You don't even know me. You know, like, rah, you know. I can't stand when people come against your character. Have you ever heard somebody talk about someone else's character? And you're like, no way. That is not how that person is. And their character has kept them. And you know that that's wrong and that's a lie from the pit of hell. Well, what are we saying when we're not in faith? And we're believing God for something, but we're not in faith. Are we saying that the character of God, are we saying that he can't do it? Because in your heart, you're then coming against who he is and saying, well, I don't really believe you can do it, but I'm saying I think you can do it, but maybe I don't. And God is going, hello, I am God. I'm the one who created you, and I can wipe you out. You know how mom say that? I brought you into this world. I'll take you out of this world. You know, he can. He really can. And if he could do that, he could do anything for us. But let's get in faith. Let's not make him not happy because we're not believing who he is and what he's doing for us in our world. I love that. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. So I believe he is. And that he is the rewarder. Oh, get this. Of those that diligently seek him. There's a key word there, girls. Diligently. Not the slacking here and the slacking there. And I'll go to church when I want sometimes. And, you know, it all depends on, you know, I have a friend. And she's so funny. Every time we invite her to do something, I just stop inviting her. Because every time we do, she'll say, well, we'll see. Because if something better comes along that night, she'll go to that. And we all joke about it and everything. But it's like, you know, not cool. So what do you do when Wednesday night rolls around and, you know, hell is broken loose in your house and you're just tired, exhausted, and frustrated? Shouldn't you probably be in church because you're really irritated and, you know, there's hell in your house anyways. You might as well bring everybody to heaven because get away from it. You know what I mean? But how many times do we choose, no, I'm just tired and I just had a long day and I'm just going to stay home? Or how about a Sunday night? Well, I got to get ready for work the next day. You know, my kids have to go to school. We can make every excuse in the book. But then we end up only going to church, what? Maybe Thursday morning's your only service. Maybe Sunday. And all of a sudden, I love you guys, but you start dropping like flies. I've seen it happen. And all of a sudden, I'm like, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Well, they stopped coming to church, and their family's falling apart. And I've had horrible things happen to people. The wife died. This happened. Her kids are on drugs. Things start happening. Because they stopped believing. They stopped making God first. They stopped being in faith. Girls, you are in a war and you are in a battle. So if you want to be lazy, don't do it now. Do it when you get to heaven and relax up there. Because down here, you don't got time to be lazy. You don't have time to take a break. We're women. How many times do we go, 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 go? I don't stop. I don't know about you, but I don't stop. You know? So funny, people want to take the, like, Sue's going to take my kids today. I'm thinking, ooh, maybe I'll take a nap. No. I got lots of stuff to do. I'm going to get stuff done before they're, while they're not there. You know, I got errands to run. I got things to do. We are always doing something. But when do you stop and make time for the Lord? It's time, girls. Number three. Let's move on. Diligently seek him. Only believe. Number three, expect opposition. Expect it. Because when you don't expect it, that's when you get disappointed. When you don't expect it, that's when you get like caught off your game like, oh, no, I was in faith. This can't happen. No, hello, of course it's going to happen. So when you know opposition is coming and you're in faith for it, it's not going to be like a, oh, stop you in your tracks. You can't keep moving on in faith. It's going to be like, of course this happened, but in the name of Jesus, I know how to fight this. I know what step to take next. I know who God is, and I know where I stand because I'm going to move Jesus with my faith, and I'm not going to allow my tracks to be stopped. I'm not going to allow this road, this journey that he has given me, this path, or this trial, or whatever it is that you are in. He's in it with you. He's not overwhelmed by it. You may be, but he's not. And know that opposition will come. But in opposition, strength is built. In opposition, faith is built. In opposition, character is built. In opposition, the Lord can be made famous through it. When things are good, we slack. When things are bad, we're up on our toes and we're like, ready to go. We're up at 3 o'clock hour and we're praying and we're believing God. We're in our word. But when things are great, we're sleeping and we're resting. And God is saying, be ready. Expect opposition. In Mark 5:38, it says, then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, which is a crowd of people of those who wept and wailed loudly. If there was a crowd, do you think it was easy for them to get through the crowd? And then they walk into what? Devastation. They walk into no faith at all. They walk into opposition. And here we go. We're walking through it. We're getting through it. They're going through opposition. And God says, listen, in Romans 8:37, I'm going to read this. Yeah, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Let's stop there. I know I'm a conqueror. But do you know you're a conqueror? Is this Christianity thing, is it new to you? Which is okay if you're newly saved. We're going to teach you. We're going to help you. You listen to these messages and start to apply them in your world. And let me tell you, you will conquer those things which you once laid down and died to. Because God says that you are more than a conqueror. And when opposition comes, the outcome of that opposition will always be that you win. If you have faith. I can't promise you that you're going to conquer if you're not in faith. Because that's not what my Bible says. Get in faith and you will win. You are more than a conqueror. Listen to this. I love the word. I love the word. And it says, life or death. How many of you have dealt with someone that's just passed away and you've had a really hard time with it? Well, guess what? They're okay. It's you now that needs to get healed. Take your time of mourning because it's okay. But know that God is in control. That God's got you. He's covering you. He's filling you. He'll fill that void because he's the one that takes everything and puts it in his hand and holds it close. He's with you through this. In life and death, he's with you. And listen, we are more than conquerors over angels and principalities. Angels and demons. And you go, oh, Pastor Jess. Oh, come on. We live in a spiritual world, and you may not get to see it, but it's happening all around us right now. A lot of you brought your demons in with you. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. But listen, when you know who you are, like Pastor Deborah talked about last week, authority, and when you have authority over these principalities, remember she talked about it, faith doesn't work without authority. When you know your authority, you have power over those things. If you're being tormented at night, let's talk about this. Because a lot of people don't talk about this. And I know if I get attacked at night, you're getting attacked at night. There are demonic things that are going to come against us as Christians. And we can ignore them and pretend that they're not there. Stupid on our part if we do that. Or we can stand up and listen. You don't have to remind the devil who you are. You just take your authority. You just say, listen, in the name of Jesus, go back to hell where you came from and do not return. And leave it at that, girls. Don't let them waste your time. Don't let them waste your time. Don't play with them. Don't entertain it. Listen, some of them are familiar spirits. Something you've held on to your whole life. Something that's comfortable for you. Because it allows you to stay weak. God says, listen, take authority over that. You have power over those things. Don't allow them to stay. Sarah, would you mind if I shared your story a little bit? Sarah and I were talking. And Sarah was going through some struggles. And I spoke to her. I said, Sarah, I really think you're dealing with a spirit of fear. And I had dealt with a spirit of fear as well myself just recently. So I recognized right away what she was going through. And she was like, wow, okay. Sarah went to prayer. I mean, this girl, she went to prayer. She found out what it was. She went to her word. She found out what God needed her to do. And the Lord showed her that that spirit of fear had been gripping her world for so long that it was comfortable to her because then it didn't make her have to stretch out and get in faith about things. It actually stopped her from moving in faith-filled things. Now they're working on buying a house. She would never, ever, ever thought of that. How long ago? About 6 months ago? Because God showed her, don't put up with that spirit of fear. Sarah told that spirit of fear to go to hell, and it did. And went right back to hell. And now her and her husband and her kids are prospering. But it was familiar. It was something she was raised with. Her parents did it. Probably their parents did it. It was something that happened. But faith now rose in her heart. Her authority came up inside of her. And she said, get out. I don't have to deal with this. Listen, girls. Get in faith. Get them out of there. You have power over the principalities of darkness. Sorry, side note. But let's do this. This is the Bible. Let's talk about these things. Because a lot of people in churches stay away from that. Because we don't want to scare people away. Yeah, well, the devil's scaring you right into fear and hell. I'm sorry. I'm going to pull you right back out and tell you how to fight it. Okay? Now, Now listen, I love this part. Nor things in the present, nor things to come. Are you afraid about what's happening in the future, guys? Come on. I'm excited. Pastor Deborah started talking about the end times. And I remember sitting as a teenager in my seat going, like freaking out, you know, because I did not know who God was. Now I'm like, come on, bring it, God. Come on, let's go. I almost don't want the economy to get better because I'm like, come on, come home. Let's do this. Because things are going to get bad before God comes. It's just a sign of the end times. But, you know, I have nothing to be afraid of. I know what my job and my purpose here is here on this earth. I told my four-year-old the other day, I said, why are you here? I am to eat ice cream and play with my friends. And I'm like, no. Chloe, you are not here to eat ice cream and play with your friends. You can do that too. But listen, you were born for such a time as this. And what I'm speaking to Chloe, I'm going to tell you. I told her, you were born for such a time as this. You were on this earth to get as many people saved as possible and to bring them right back to heaven where your true home is. And she goes, oh, ooh, our true home. What's that going to be like? Is it going to be a mansion? Is the house going to look like Nana's? Is it? I'm like, I mean, you know, little five-year-old. She's so cute. And so now Chloe's like, well, I know why I'm here. I'm telling you, she's like proud about it. I'm here because I'm going to get people saved. And we drove past a homeless guy the other day. I gave him some food and some money. And she was like, well, why did you do that, Mom? And I said, well, because, honey, we need to help, you know, the poor and the needy. And she goes, well, why didn't you give him the rent money that you have in that check right there? Or I had an envelope with my rent money. I'm like, because I had to pay the rent, Chloe, you know, like. Little giver, give it all away. And she says to me, she says, okay. And she goes, well, Mom, I really feel bad for that guy. Can I pray for him? I said, sure. And she starts to pray for him. And you know what she prayed for? She prayed for his soul. She said, Lord, I ask that he would get saved and that he would know your goodness and that your light would shine through him. And she goes, and everybody that's on the streets and doesn't know who you are, Lord, we pray for them right now. And I was like bawling. I'm bawling. I'm like, oh, where's my red money? Just give it to him. But if my five-year-old can have faith like a child, girls, we can do it too, okay? The world has just gotten in us and made us all a little mucky. She's still pure. So let's follow what the young ones do because they really do know God and they really are faith-filled. So expect opposition to come. And then let's move on to point four because I'm just going on and on. Are you getting something from today? Good. Okay, point number four. Surround yourself with faith-filled people. I think I've said this before in some of my other messages, but I cannot hammer this enough. I'll never forget, and I'm going to tell you a story that I tell the young adults, okay? So all the older women, please don't check out. It was definitely a story when I was in high school, but bear with me because it just is going to make my point. I remember I was sinning. I was a good sinner. And I was the one, though, that really wasn't the drinker because I had watched the people around me drink and I really hated how they looked. I thought they looked dumb. So I was the designated driver always, like with all my friends. So they were all the drinkers and I was the designated driver. And I remember one of my friends said, hey, let's go to a party. I'm like, okay. So we went to the party and I'm telling you, this girl was like MIA. I knew no one at the party and I'm like, have you ever been in a situation where you're like, I don't know anyone, this is awkward, I wish I wasn't here. Like, the whole time, I was like, this sucks. And I couldn't even find her to leave. So I'm just like, I can't leave her because I know she's drinking. So I just remember sitting there, really awkward, really uncomfortable. And this guy came up to me. And he goes, hey, you know, want to go upstairs? And I was like, appalled. I'm like, what? And he's like, well, you're so-and-so's friend, aren't you? And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? He's like, well, that's how she is. So I just figured that's how you were. And I was like beside myself. And I'm telling you, it like was loud and clear. Run! That was my last time ever going to a party. And I just remember really remembering and recognizing that you are what you hang around. And that works now that you are older because what are you getting into? Are you a naysayer now? Because you're just so crabby all the time. Just not happy all the time. Just going to complain about everything. because when I complain, I'm venting and I feel better about myself. Girls, come on. When life is falling apart, the people in your world need to be encouraging you. You don't need to be able to call somebody and they go, oh, I know. Yeah, I know. That they suck. Yeah, they're, you know what? Boo on them. Yeah, your son. You know what? You know, I agree. He's just, you know, loser. No. You have to stop the voices. Remember, we talked about that. But that means you may have to stop the relationship, too. You may have to take a step back and go, this is not good for my faith walk. This is not putting me in faith. This is pulling me away from faith. And God says to surround yourself with faith-filled people. Let's read about it. Matthew 5:37-40. And he permitted no one to follow him. This is when they were going back to Jairus' house, right after they had said that he's dead, right? And he said, and he had permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Why was that? You think God wanted all these crabby people following him and ruining his faith right now? He is ready to do a miracle. He needed to be ready to go. He needed to be on board. He needed to be risen. He needed to be ready to go. You know, it's so funny. It reminds me of when my dad and mom, we'd be driving down the hill because my parents would live in the mountains. They'd drive down the hill when they were starting the churches. They've started many churches. And when they were starting church, and I just remember we were always like fighting, me and Luke. Me and Luke can fight good, okay? And, but we love each other, but we can fight good. And we were fighting, you know, and it was almost something we liked doing because we liked bugging mom and dad. We just liked to get a rise out of them. I'm serious. So me and Luke would be like, me, and dad would be like, shut up, I'm going to preach. You know, like. And I just remember always dad getting mad. He's like, you don't understand, I have to preach, stop fighting. You know, like, stop speaking, stop talking, like. And then I always remember we go through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and my dad cannot handle going through drive-thrus, okay? It's really funny. And he'll tell us before he gets there, what do you want? Because I don't want you talking to me when I'm talking to the person. And so, you know, he's getting ready to preach, trying to feed us a nutritious meal, for God's sake. And so we're going through McDonald's, and dad's like, okay, you guys got what you want, and we tell him what he wants. And then he gets up there and we're like, oh no, dad, no, I want a soda now. I don't want, shut up. I don't know why I'm telling this story. So anyways, you got to fill yourself with faith-filled people. We were not in faith with dad. We were thinking about our food. We were thinking about bugging him. We were thinking about, he was preparing to prepare to give the word of God. And he was like, you know, like, ah, you're keeping me in the flesh. So, we had a laugh. That was funny, huh? So, my daddy's so cute. I love him. So anyways, so fill yourself and surround yourself with faith-filled people. The people in your world that are going to say to you, no, you can do this. It's not over yet. The story hasn't been written and finished. What does the word say? The word says, and they can give you some scripture. And listen, can I give you a little tidbit? Be nice to them when they do that to you. Okay? Because it's not easy for them to do that to you. Because they're worried that you're going to sever their relationship with you. If you get, you know, they're worried that you're going to go, well, gosh, you know, it's happened to me, actually. I've been called holier than thou. How dare they? And preachy, preachy. That's what, preachy. Well, you know what? That's right. And this is what I told the person. I said, that's right. I'm not going to tell you anything else I wouldn't tell somebody else if I was ministering to them in a counseling session. They hung up on me. But they did call me back and repent. And listen, if you're on the other end and you're complaining and you're having a hard day and you're having hard things happen to you, because yes, life sucks, okay? I know. Things happen. Life happens. And if you just are talking to someone and you want them to be in your pity party with you, well, guess what? I don't want to be in a pity party, so don't call me. And probably your friends don't want to be in a pity party either if they're good friends, because they're going to pull you right out of that pity party and they're going to get you back in faith. So you be nice to them when that happens, okay? Sorry, just be nice. Okay, so surround yourself with faith-filled people, because God's word says that in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived or misled. Evil companionship, communion, and associations. Not just best friends, not just family members, but associations. Who are you hanging out with at work? What are they saying about the boss? Who's your husband hanging out with at work? And what's he coming home telling you about the boss? Guys, do not allow those things to come into your world. You do not need to be cursed in your life. You need to keep yourself in faith, and you need your household to be blessed. Cut it off and say, nope, gossip, I don't want to hear it. Is this going to edify me, or is this going to discourage me? Ask yourself these questions. Corrupt and deprive good manners and morals and character. Do not be deceived or misled. Evil company corrupts and deprives good manners, morals, and character. So listen, you are all incredible women of God. You are all here on this earth to get as many people saved in your world as possible so that you can see the kingdom advance in heaven. And when we get there, we can then relax, girls, okay? So, good news. But listen, be careful who you put in your world. Be careful what voices are speaking into your life. Make sure that you only believe and that you're not just justifyingly in faith. Don't be a naysayer in your world. Don't be a naysayer to somebody else's world. And expect opposition, but when you have opposition, what happens? You are more than a conqueror, and God will get you through it. So listen, we just learned today, what does faith look like that moves Jesus? That's what it looks like. It looks like someone who doesn't let outsiders speak into their world because they know what God says first. It looks like someone who doesn't just know what God can do but believes what God can do. It looks like someone who expects opposition but conquers it. It looks like someone who surrounds himself with faith-filled people that are going to encourage them and that they're going to live this journey together well. And that's what it looks like. And that's what you need to move Jesus on your behalf. And if you got something from God today, go ahead and give him a hand. That's good. You know, I'm preaching to myself. And you may go, wow, she said pissed off. Sorry. My dad says worse. So anyway, we're the cussing church. If you're new, I'm kidding. Like, seriously, if you're new, you just have to get to know us, okay? So I love you girls, but